The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
Come dressed in a Halloween kit.
How rude. In fact, you pipped me to the post.
I pipped you?
You pipped.
Did I squeeze your pips?
Yes, you pipped me. Because as I floated upstairs...
You've taken my spit guard off again.
You know why I do. I have to clean the microphones after that. What? Have you seen that? I'm going to throw it at you. Ready?
Yeah, no, I cleaned it. I washed it.
You have not. It's full of dust.
And it makes it's had a bit of spit. Yeah, don't worry about it.
It makes me cough. I don't know who's on before me, but that nearly went in my tea then.
Well, don't fry it about.
Even worse.
God, she does moan a lot, doesn't she?
Honestly.
No. What do you do with her?
Also, the biscuits have gone downhill again.
Have they?
I think they have.
You're gluten intolerant. You shouldn't be eating the biscuits.
I know, but when times are tough, when the going gets tough, there's
the tough eat chocolate biscuits.
Who's okay. Who sang that?
If you're listening, Amanda, I haven't touched the biscuits at all.
No, you're shrinking by the hour.
I'm wasting away, aren't I?
Yeah, I looked at you today and thought you're shrinking.
You thought I turned sideways, didn't you?
I thought you had a very big jumper on.
Yeah.
You know that if Nurse Liz is listening, she'll laugh about the word jumper.
Yeah, well, she don't know what a jumper is.
Because Americans don't use...
They think it's somebody
leaping off a
mountain
building.
Goat or something. Yeah.
Somebody leaping off a building.
Yeah.
They call it... What do they call it then? A woolly?
A woolly.
What do they call it? A
sweater.
Oh, how very American.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't know what jumper is. But I'm still in my hire car.
Are you?
Due to the lady
what's taking them so long to replace the panel?
I don't know, but I'm loving it.
Have they ordered a new panel or something?
Oh, yeah. They phone us every week and go, it's not ready yet. And I don't know what they're doing.
Well, you ask them why it isn't ready
no,
yet.
No, I'm loving the car. I'm loving it. BMW 530, darling.
I have to say.
Hybrid, darling.
I have to say, many years ago.
You were hybrid, were you?
No. I was working for Citibank at the time, and I had a company car, a BMW 3 Series.
Mm.
And it was brand new, but it developed a kind of fault, and it had to go back to the garage. And they gave me, the only car they had was an M3.
What's that?
It's the sporty, suit-up version.
Yeah. Oh, mine is fast.
Yeah, it was about three times the price of mine. Mm. So they gave that to me as a courtesy car.
Yeah.
And they kept ringing me going, can you bring the car back? I went, no.
Yeah, well, that's
no, I'm not
like.
In the country, sorry.
Yeah,
and
that's
they go,
what I'm like.
Are you sure? I go, yeah, no, so I'm not back till next week.
The only trouble is, I don't know how to really work it. I just get in and it purrs off.
Yeah.
And I've just sort of worked out the navi and the music, and I flip on stage.
She doesn't know how to work it, Maria. Yeah. She couldn't even get her phone to connect.
I don't have to get him to connect the phone, but anyhow, so I get in and purr off. But now I was texting my new husband when I stopped and said, is it on electric or is it on gas? Because I don't know.
How's he know? He's not in the car.
Well, because he drove it on Saturday.
Right, okay.
So it's however he left it. We were electric on Saturday, but I don't know. And it's saying recharge, and I don't know how to recharge it. And what if it stops in the middle of Ashford?
Yeah.
I'm just scuppered.
Isn't there a switch to switch between...
Well, there is, but there's about... It's like a... You've seen it. It's like a Boeing 747.
Right.
Got all blue stripes around it and lights here and lights there. And it does things. It's got, like, mood. Yours got mood.
Mood control.
Mood enhancement. So it does a zen thing where suddenly...
It says, slow down, you're in a mood.
No, everything goes dark. It goes bling, and then it all goes dark, and the sunlight thing, you know, the open rooftop thing closes. It's very zen. But good news, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, go on.
Two good news. So the nipper, Shay and Mimi, his girlfriend, he's 27. Have just moved in finally to their new abode.
Oh, brilliant.
So they got a little two-bedroom flat in, they say it's Greenwich, but I think it's Deptford.
Yeah,
but they
same
say
thing.
It's Greenwich, and it's like, on the cusp.
Greater Greenwich.
Twixt.
We will do, yeah, yeah.
And so had a great time at the weekend.
But Deptford's all okay these days as well.
There's organic wine there. I mean, you know.
I used to go to Deptford when I was a kid. Squeeze were from there, one of my favourite bands.
Yeah, I love Squeeze.
Watch
their
Squeeze.
Lyrics
yeah.
are incredible,
yeah.
aren't they?
Yeah. Do you know who else? What other band was from Deptford?
I met a girl from
Deptford. Well, really surprised me this. I'm a reasonable fan of this other band as well, and I never knew they were from Deptford.
UB40?
No. Dire Straits. Mark Knopfler's from Deptford. I didn't know that.
No, he doesn't strike me as a Deptford.
No, exactly. No,
I thought he was quite posh.
I assumed he was from the northeast or something.
Yeah,
like
I thought he had a whip.
No, not Yorkshire. No, Newcastle.
Yeah. on Tyne.
Yeah, Deptford.
Mm. Well, it's very nice and it's lovely and their flat is lovely. I have to say, they've got a roof terrace and they were desperate to
get a roof terrace? Yeah. How posh.
They were desperate to get outside space, trying to find a one bedroom flat with outside space.
With a roof terrace.
Oh, really?
When you say a roof terrace, is it a roof terrace or is the roof just come off?
No, it's actually, and then they're floor six there.
I hope there's not a seventh.
Well, actually, we went up on the roof.
Said roof terrace.
But then we got a ladder and we climbed up on the roof of the whole building just to see.
For any particular reason?
They're not listening, just for fun.
Oh, right,
we had a couple of bottles of Carver.
Oh, that'll explain it.
For this very, because it's been a year to get these young badgers to move. It's been very difficult and you know what it's like getting young people on the ladder. Obviously, a little bit of help from mum and dad, you know, for the deposit. But they both work hard and they're both paying off student loans. We need an accountant on the show, really. Both.
Luckily.
Next up. Long story short, I had from my Ibiza rocking, you know, my birthday that I always go to Ibiza.
Yeah, yeah.
So this year I brought back, I smuggled in my suitcase some organic Carver for the very occasion and took it to the abode.
And then sat on their roof and drank it.
Yeah, yeah.
As
all to
would.
Myself.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
So it's great, yeah. And they've got a little, in the distance, they can see the Shard.
Really?
So that's very exciting.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're good, you might get an invite.
To the Shard or their roof terrace?
Their roof terrace.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And another bit of good news I just saw on Twitter, which affects everyone that goes on the train. I don't know if you saw this breaking news. Common sense prevails. Says man of
Kent.
Yes,
I heard it on
rail ticket offices are not to be closed. So they've done a
U-turn
as the lady.
Well, actually, the Department of Transport have insisted they do a U-turn. The rail companies haven't, but the Department of Transport have said, no, sorry, you got to keep ticket offices open.
Yeah. Well, thank you to on the Twitter. It's Applesgate, I always call him. I might not be saying it correctly. So at, obviously, the Twitter bit. And then PPLATES, that's to me is Apples. Mm. And then, oh, great, GRATE. Apples Great, I call him. But it's not really. Because it's Aplate is great. God.
What are you waffling about? What's she waffling about?
Well, I'm trying to read his Twitter handle, but it's not Apples at all. It's Aplate is great. APP.
Do we care?
LATES. Yeah, you've got to follow him. R and then great.
I'm not following him. He's got a silly name.
Yeah. Well, I've called him Applesgate in my head, but he's not. He's Aplate.
Yeah, you just told us that four times.
Aplate is oh, great.
Right.
So,
Going back to the ticket office thing.
Yeah.
Interesting. I was lecturing at Christchurch University yesterday.
I saw.
To a business class, talking about entrepreneurship and stuff. And they were just saying, what did I think of a trend? And I just said, I tell you what, if you really want to make money in the next 5 or 10 years, don't worry about technology. Think about people. Because
customers.
No. Offering a people-based service with human beings involved.
Oh yeah.
Because so many of us are getting fed up with automation.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't have an interrupt. The automation's great, but when it goes wrong and you can't speak to a human, it's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, you start screaming.
And I believe that it will come full circle where a lot of people will start. And this ticket office thing is exactly a thing like that. The reason that the Department of Transport have said no is they were inundated with people who said, what about disabled people? What about old people? Mm. What about people that have trouble using ticket machines? Why can't you have a ticket office that sells tickets? Yeah. And also can answer your questions like, is the train on time? Where do I change? Or what, you know, the lines around here coming from London, I don't know if you've been on a train recently, but you get lots of trains where the rear four carriages go somewhere different to the front four carriages.
I know, I hate that.
Yeah, and the amount of people that end up going to the wrong place.
You go to Snodland.
Especially if they've had a little, carver or two.
Well, my new husband has ended up, when he used to commute regularly, when he was at Bloomberg, he used to end up phoning me saying, I'm in Dover, at like 11 o'clock at night or midnight or something, because he fell asleep.
Yeah.
So I'd have to get in the car. car and go, even though I was in my pyjamas, which wasn't very nice.
You could have done the shopping as well, then.
I now have really nice pyjamas.
Yeah. You could have popped into Tesco's as you had your pyjamas on to do a bit of shopping.
Is that what you do, then?
Yeah. Haven't you seen they all wear their pyjamas and go shopping in Tesco's?
I've noticed these young girls wearing that. Those fluffy slippers. What's all that about?
It's a dressing gown and they've got the gym jams on.
I'm not the type.
They're shopping gym jams, they are.
No, I'm not the type that can stay in my pyjamas.
Are you posh?
No, not about posh, but I feel depressed if
she's posh.
I very rarely put a dressing gown or pyjamas on. Sleep in the nude, you know. But if I do sleep in pyjamas, it would just be the jacket. If I put the bottoms on.
My mind's just finished boggling.
Because if I put the bottoms on, then I get too hot and I start wriggling about, and then I fling them off in the night, and the new husband gets really upset. So it would just be a jacket of a cold evening. But then when I get up, I have to get out immediately. I might just go and make a cup of tea in my jacket, but then I will have a shower.
I'd use a teapot if I were you. It works far better.
Yeah, but I can't. I find it very depressing drudging about in dressing. I'm not that type. Some people find it comforting, don't they? And onesies. Don't get me started on onesies.
Sometimes you think, I regret saying what I just said. Yeah. Did you go shopping in your pyjamas? Because
no,
now, 10 minutes later, we've found out all of her bedroom secrets.
I've got a nice red pair at the moment.
The fact that she goes shopping in just her pyjama jacket.
I never go shopping in just...
Oh, right.
You know why?
Why?
Because the seat of the BMW is quite, you know, you got your heating on it, haven't you?
You've got a heated seat, haven't you?
You wouldn't want
woolly pyjamas for that.
And you'd stick to the seat, wouldn't you? If you'd only had a top on. What I mean.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah.
Anyway. Twitter's been quite busy.
Yeah.
Should we call it Twitter? Yeah. I was thinking we could call it X Twitter.
We've had some X's from Kim Stevens, Caring Kent. She says, hello, I'd really love a spooky Business Bunker shout out, please. Do you or your loved ones need care at home? Are you ready to get help? Give us a call on Ashford 01233 619530 if you need help at home. I hope you're not going to scare the old folks by turning up in a witch's outfit or something, Kim.
I made a bit of a faux pas. I went into hairdressers. I won't name them, but someone...
Yeah,
I
did that as well.
I went in on Saturday, just popped in, and... I said hello, and I haven't seen this person for about a year. Mm. And she was all in black, as hairdressers are, I later remembered.
Goth, was she?
And then she had her hair dyed red. Mm. And then it was all decorated with Halloween. So I said, oh, well done on the Halloween outfit. And there was a silence. And then I sort of thought about it and changed the subject very quickly. But I said to my new husband, I think I made a faux pas, because she wasn't dressed for Halloween. She just looked like that.
Okay,
it's that goth look, you know. It's like Emily that I met in the pub. I told you last week.
Mm-hmm.
Emily, very goth, pink hair, nail varnish.
Yeah.
A man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right. Anyway.
Just saying.
I remember when you were waffling about Hythe. Okay.
But not everyone in Hythe is like that. There's some really nice, fabulous independent shops.
Yep. Yeah. Gravesham Council, Gravesham for Business, has tweeted, Paul, there are £1,000 grants available from Kent County Council to adapt premises to be more breastfeeding friendly.
At least you said breastfeeding and not chest feeding.
He's given me a link as well where you can find out more about the detail. It's for hospitality and retail businesses that are open to the public. If you follow Gravesham for Business, their actual Twitter handle is Gravesham4FORBiz. They're part of Gravesham Council, and there's a link there where you can look at these grants. What fascinates me, because I own a kind of retail hospitality set of businesses, is... How do you make somewhere breastfeeding friendly?
It cozy and a bit private.
I don't know. High back
chair. You want an arm so you can, when you're breastfeeding, I've done three kids, you can tell.
All at once?
Yeah, no, not all at once. Didn't have triplets.
You haven't got enough?
You want a rest for your elbow, don't you?
I don't know. I've never breastfed anyone, have I?
a nice high back. And you want a little snug.
I've never breastfed anyone, have I? No.
And you want a nice little private corner that's nice with a,
hold on, so let,
with
so,
a Guinness beside you.
So for me, £1,000, I need a chair with odd level arms. Yeah. One higher than the other.
No, not, well, just a high back chair with arms. Because you're going to switch each side of your breast, aren't you? So they need to be...
I don't know. I've never done it.
Equidistance.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want that. But they must have a drink because, you know, you need to keep your fluids up. I used to be an NCT breastfeeding counsellor, you know.
Did you?
I know all about this. Yeah.
Oh, well.
It's right up my street.
Well, there you go then. If you want to apply for a £1,000 grant and get some information from Jules... You've come to the right place.
Just a nice little snug place, that's what they
anyway,
need.
Anyway, thank you, Gravesham Council, for making us aware of this. And it's a Kent County Council grant, so it's available across the county. If you can make your place breastfeeder friendly.
Yeah, well, it's an amazing grant, really, isn't it, that? I'm not sure it would cost £1,000. Is it up to £1,000?
It's up to £1,000,
I don't think a high-back chair in a secluded spot, you know, would...
Well, it all depends. You might have to put curtains around it or something as well.
Curtains. Yeah, you might. Sorry, I'm looking for a picture of my greyhound to send to...
Well, it's just... I was in my place in Canterbury yesterday, in Fruitworks, in the coffee shop there.
Breastfeeding, were you?
And no, there was a lady in there breastfeeding, and she seemed quite happy.
Yeah. Was she tucked in a corner, or...?
No. Not really.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's something to be proud of, isn't it? It's a lovely thing.
Because you get those kind of special tops, don't you, for...
Well, I think nowadays you just sling a scarf around you or have a bag. Yeah. But, scarves are quite good because they can give you a bit of stickler. But you can't breastfeed if you're stressed because it affects your milk.
I know.
In fact, Paul Andrews, talking about grants, I just sent one to... Do you remember my lovely cleaners who... sadly couldn't run their business, you know, they couldn't afford to run their business.
That's not the one that hasn't been cleaning properly, is it?
Oh no, that's another story.
You found cobwebs,
didn't
you?
Did you see that?
I did, yeah, you posted it on Twitter.
She came yesterday and I didn't say anything.
Didn't you? Didn't you tell her off? You cleaned before she came. Because she'd missed a bit.
Yeah, no, I just sent her to other rooms and pursed my lips.
Yeah.
And then I asked her why there was water all over the new husband's bathroom floor the last time. It was like a flood. And she said, oh no, it wasn't like that when I left it. No one else in the house. So we're not getting on really. Anyway, my lovely cleaners who I really liked, but they couldn't afford to run their car. Good job. We need an accountant on the show. But I sent them, there's a new grant that I spotted.
Mm-hmm.
You go to www.gov.uk, get help and support for your business. Your business, you can get advice and financial help from government-backed schemes. Just put your details in and select the type of support you need. You can get help with tax.
Mm.
Good job we got an accountant on later. Help with exporting, advice on writing a business plan. And if you're unemployed or on benefits, you may be able to get extra help through your job centre plus work coach. And there's also loads of other things you can get. But I sent it to him because there's also a business support helpline. And because he stopped working, the two of them. Two lovely boys.
I need to be like that.
Because do you remember do you remember I sent you what he wrote to me?
Yeah,
because he couldn't afford to run his car. Now they were getting £20 an hour. So something was going very wrong there. £20 an hour each.
Yeah.
Couldn't afford to run their car. And they had quite a lot of clients, but I know that they struggle with staff. So, you know, people were letting them down, so they were doing it all themselves. And they're really, really nice boys. So I sent that through to them and I really wish them luck because they were gutsy. And they were very organised and they were good.
Yeah.
You know, but if you haven't got a car, you can't get to your premises.
Yeah, needed some help with budgeting by the sound of it.
Yeah, I think you should go and have a coffee with them.
talking about coffee. Helping people and stuff with grants, I see in, did you see us on the BBC? On Sunday morning?
No.
Ireland Works, and we were featured...
Were you on the BBC?
We were on the BBC. We were on the BBC Breakfast on Sunday morning. They did a whole feature about the stuff we were doing in Neats.
Wow.
Yeah.
With who?
Neats.
Which is? I thought that was something you put on if you had...
A comb. A neat comb. No, that's a knit comb.
Okay.
No, Neats are people that are not in education, training, or employment. And we have a little group at... Ireland Works that comes in every Tuesday and Wednesday sometimes and gets help. And the BBC came and filmed it and did a bit of a tour as well.
Who was the presenter?
Oh, I don't know what her name was.
You were there, were you?
I wasn't, no.
Oh, it's too far for you to go, really, from Clinton as well, of a Sunday. You'd still be in pyjamas.
Well, they didn't film it on a Sunday. They showed it on a Sunday.
Okay.
I don't know. They filmed it on a Tuesday or Wednesday.
Oh, you should have told me. I would have gone and got... I would have crowd...
I'll try again. Yeah. Okay. They filmed it on a Tuesday.
Oh, that's where we are. We're here.
Oh, no. Really? Oh, right. Maria could have been there. Maria,
yeah,
who's
Maria,
our guest.
Where were you?
Hold on. Maria, who's our guest in the second half of the show, she's based at Island Works. That's where her office is.
Oh, I see a connection coming in. I love it when the show has a connection.
Yeah.
So already we've got accountants.
May I get a word
HR.
In edgeways?
Are we going to talk to her?
We are in the second half of the show, yeah.
And you're going to tell us about Island Works?
I am.
Not just the cakes, because I've heard there's all sorts of very delicious things there, like toasties with Mars bars or something.
No, it's Snickers and Nutella toasty is our piece de resistance.
Have you had one?
Or the banana and honey. Yeah.
I've had the banana and honey.
Have you?
And the sandwiches are pretty gorgeous.
Really? How did you feel after the banana and honey? Did they have to scrape you off the ceiling? Because if I have that much sugar, I'm like...
I had a lot of energy that evening.
Yeah, I'm sure. Did all the housework.
Right, anyway, we're running over time now.
Yeah. And cheesy tunage.
I've got cheesy tunage, yeah.
What you got?
Well, you tell me.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2.
I'm on with the cough. Oh, that's the Beatles, and it's Taxman.
Taxman, yay.
Oh,
see what I did there?
Yay.
Very
good.
There's one for you, 19 for me. Cause I'm the Taxman. Yeah, I'm the Taxman. Should 5% appear too small? Be thankful I don't take it all. Cause I'm the Taxman. Yeah, I'm the Taxman. If you drive a car, I'll tax the street. If you drive to city, I'll tax your seat. If you get too cold, I'll tax the heat. If you take a walk, I'll tax your feet.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk.
Does your business have great customer service? Are you a successful small or large business? Are you creative or innovative? Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout them out. So what's stopping you? Enter the Kent Business Awards now. Get your easy-to-complete application form from businessawardskent.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Hey, that was Taxman, the Beatles.
I love it.
Do you know, George Harrison wrote that because he was mortified in 1965 when he wrote it they were paying 95% of their earnings in tax.
95%, yeah. That's huge. Yeah, absolutely it is. Huge.
Yeah. Anyway, that song was in homage to our next guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker show, Sue Rathmill. Sue, welcome to the show. Sue is with MHA. And you're a bit of a tax specialist, aren't you? Especially VAT.
Hi, Paul. Yes, I am. I'm a VAT specialist, and I'm from MHA Accountants, where we cover all kinds of advice and tax, accounting, audit, etc. But I myself, I'm a VAT specialist. Quite a narrow area to specialise in.
Yeah, but very important. Let's kick off though. But tell us a little bit more about Sue. To give us a bit of background to Sue, okay. And then we'll dive into VAT in a minute.
Okay. Yay. So I was born in Kent, in Folkestone.
Right.
Oh, lovely.
And I live in Hythe now.
I love Hythe, as I was saying. Oh, what
here
lovely
we go.
Individual
here
shops.
Here we go again. I love
the florist.
Yes.
And I love Wow, the Wow shop.
Yeah.
Then you go in and you do say Wow. And in actual fact, that's where my dressing gown is from.
Should we go out for lunch or something, Maria, while she waffles on about Hythe again?
Wow. 1,000 stars is the dressing gown that my new husband bought me from Wow in Hythe.
Good.
Street.
Well, shall we hear from Sue?
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah. So that's where I live now. But in between being born and being back here, I've lived in London. Mm. I've lived in Central Europe. I spent 4 years in Prague in the Czech Republic.
Oh, wow. Okay.
1 year in Prague, 3 years in Budapest in
Hungary. What took you to Central Europe? Were you working? Are you a student?
I was working. So, like I said, I've always done VAT, and I worked for Deloitte as a big firm of accountants.
Right, okay.
Huge.
I'm going back to 1998, so the wall hadn't been down that many years.
Right.
And we didn't have VAT specialists in Central Europe, and so I was sent over there to set up a group, which is what I did. I pulled in VAT people, customs duty specialists, and we had a big group across like 20 countries.
I was trying to remember, you're not old enough, so you probably won't remember. I was trying to remember when the European Union introduced VAT, or TVA as they called it.
What do they call it?
TVA. Mm. I'm just about old enough to remember purchase tax, which was a forerunner of VAT, but I can't remember when they actually introduced it. Do you know?
It was 73 in the UK, wasn't it? But it had already been around in
For a while in Europe,
But we had to introduce it when we joined the the European community at that time.
Can I ask you a couple of questions about that? Because you've kind of moved around a bit and you've done a bit of stuff within the VAT marketplace. Did you set out? Obviously, you set out to become an accountant. Did you set out to specialise in VAT, or was it just something that kind of crept up on you?
Well, I'm not actually an accountant. Let's get that on the top.
Right, okay.
I'm not an accountant. I'm a qualified tax advisor.
Okay.
So did I set out to be in VAT? No. I mean, it's not the sort of thing you grow up thinking I want to be VAT specialist.
Yeah, a bit weird, really. Yeah,
a bit weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't even know it existed when I was growing up. So what happened was I left school and started working in the civil service, and I was just posted into what was then Customs and Excise.
Right.
It's now HMRC, and I worked there for 7 years.
Right.
The last 4 years were doing VAT, doing visits to businesses out of the Stratford VAT office in East London.
Right.
And then, my boyfriend left me. Sad.
Oh.
So I realised that
the cad
didn't have enough money to live on.
Right.
As maybe you realise these things, don't you, at some point. So that's when I went into a local firm of accountants at Canary Wharf, Little John Fraser, and I've not looked back.
Right.
That was in 1991.
Okay.
So, yeah, since then I've been just VAT.
Cool. From a business point of view, most of our listeners are small business owners, small and medium-sized business owners. VAT figures quite large in our lives in one way or another.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of explore a few things with that, if I may. But just to finish off on your career trajectory, when did you end up at MHA?
So MHA I joined 6 years ago in 2017. In 2017, and I am a specialised in two areas, actually, of VAT. So it's not, I'm not content with specialising in VAT. I actually specialise in travel VAT.
Wow.
And also charities as well. So I do those. But I cover every kind of area of VAT.
Okay.
And businesses that bring goods in and out of the UK, that sort of thing as well.
I promise not to rant, but as you said it, I got to say this. I don't want to get too deeply into this because there is a political angle to this, which I'm not remotely interested in. As you know, a particular political party recently has intimated that should they get elected, they're going to put VAT on independent school fees. When they started talking about it, they kept going on about charities and removing their charitable status. And I had to keep pointing out to them that removing the charitable status would not affect their VAT. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, that's true, because the exemption that they have for their school fees comes from a different part of the...
Absolutely.
But I think they were trying to... Well, they're trying to remove the benefits that they get, aren't they, of being a charity?
Yeah.
But I think they've agreed to leave that now, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And a lot of it was because I think they did get it wrong, that they didn't really understand that it wasn't the charity side that stopped them being VAT registered. Yeah. The reason that got up my nose is I'm a non-executive director of four charities and we're all registered for VAT and pay VAT, so...
I mean, VAT for charities, I think, is one of the most difficult areas of the whole VAT system.
Yeah.
It's really difficult.
Yeah.
You have everything. You have grants, you have... you know, services that are being provided, sometimes for money, sometimes not for money.
Mm.
It's just very, very tough indeed. And of course, for a sector that doesn't have the money to pay for advice to deal with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, let's kind of, if you don't mind, Sue, let's explore that a little bit, the whole VAT landscape. We were talking off air, and it's something I kind of want to get out of the way early. There's a cliff edge, isn't there, in the UK, where it's the threshold to register for VAT is £85,000. And if you hit that in any tax year, you have to register and then go back and redo it all for the rest of the time that you should have done it in that tax year, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so how it works is it's a look back test. So you look back in the preceding 12 months. If you exceeded 85,000 making supplies that would have been either standard rated 20%, zero rated 0%, reduced rated 5%, then you have to register for VAT. The problems come when you, as you say, you didn't realize you should be registered, and then you have to go back and say, well, I should have been registered a year ago, and you pay VAT on all the supplies you've made since then. But the 85,000 we were talking earlier, weren't we, about the way it is, this sort of cliff face. I mean, it has not gone up in years, that threshold. If it had gone up, it would be over 100,000 by now. And do you know what gets me about this is the government has been looking for ways to use the fact that we left the EU. One of the things that they could do is they could put the threshold right up. There's nothing to stop them doing that, but they're not doing that. I think it's wrong.
It's crazy as well, isn't it? It's one of those things where your original assumption doesn't actually get borne out in reality. And what I'm trying to say here is there's a cliff edge. And a lot of very small businesses, sole traders, will not go over that threshold. So no matter how much work they get in a year, they'll get to 80,000 and stop work. Mm. Yeah, even if they've hit it in 3 months. Mm. So there are literally hundreds of thousands of businesses that are operating before that, under that threshold.
Yeah.
My point would be, one, in all fairness, the threshold should be higher, yeah? But two, the government would probably end up making more money out of it, yeah? Because if you put the threshold to, say, 120,000, those businesses would then carry on working up to 115,000 and would be paying tax on that, you know, income tax on that.
Yeah.
So they would actually generate more money, and it would also move this cliff edge. It's still going to be there, isn't it? You're just going to move it forward a bit, but each time you raise that threshold, you're cutting out more and more businesses.
Yes, you are, and I think we should do that for small businesses, because it's holding all of our small businesses back, because as you say, they don't want to go over the threshold, and I don't blame them. because then you're, you know, you're into the world of penalties and VAT returns and having to get it right and so on. You probably
and not least of which, your prices go up by 20% immediately.
Of course, yeah, you put your prices up because you've got to pay VAT at 20% on your services. Mm. So if you're a builder or something like that, I think that's probably where we see it most, isn't it?
Yeah.
Suddenly you become 20% more expensive, so you're no longer competitive.
Yeah.
And yes, you can recover VAT on your costs, but you probably don't have much in the way of VAT on costs because you're a service business, so you don't get that benefit.
Yeah.
So I think we should be looking at you know, substantially increasing it to 250,000, that sort of a level. Yeah.
You mentioned to me earlier, which was an eye-opener for me, about VAT receipts in general that the government get. Can you remind me of the statistic again of where most of it comes from?
So most of the VAT that's received, about £60 billion, comes from larger businesses.
Right.
I can't remember the exact statistic, but it's something like 90% of that amount of VAT is paid over by about 10% of the businesses in the UK.
Right.
The biggest businesses are paying over the VAT, and really the smaller ones are just barely adding anything to their coffers.
So by putting it up, as you suggest, 250,000 whatever, really won't make a huge amount of difference to the government, apart from the fact that they're going to make more income tax from sole traders.
That's absolutely true. It won't make much difference in terms of the VAT that's paid. It will in terms of the tax that has to be paid. What it will also do is it will mean that they can concentrate the resources on the businesses that need to be controlled, you know, the areas where there's fraud and so on.
Yeah.
They can better use the resources that they have. I was at a conference recently, VAT at 50. I go to some great events.
She's a party animal,
isn't
she?
I really am. And the head of the HMRC was there, Jim Hanna, and he was saying, you know, how well they were doing. And I raised a question and I said, look, we wait forever for information. We wait for businesses to be registered. We wait for when we have to make disclosures of errors. We wait for that to be dealt with. You know, why? What is the problem here? You should be doing these things quickly in order to collect the money. And he was saying, we're just not given the resources that we need. We cannot get more people. So if you increase the threshold, you can put your people that you do have in the areas that will really bring in the money, not, you know, builders you know, retailers and so on, smaller ones, but on businesses that you know there is fraud going on there and
absolutely
you can bring in the money.
Yeah. And just because we can. I own a small chain of coffee shops, which is a real laugh from a VAT point of view.
Yes.
We are, again, I was talking during my lecture yesterday at university and saying we are quite lucky these days. We use a product called Square Up, which is a till-based app, runs on a tablet. Mm-hmm. But, of course, with automation, a lot of this is done for you. Yeah. So we put in whether we heated up a sausage roll or not. You know, was it a hot sausage roll or a cold sausage roll? And then Square Up works out whether we've got to charge VAT or not. I mean, we charge whatever we charge, and it's just whether we take 20% of that and call it VAT.
Yeah. And this is the stupid thing about VAT, isn't it? That you can charge, I don't know, £1.50 for a sausage roll. And if it's VAT-able, you have to pay the VAT out of that because the market will only bear so much as a charge.
Absolutely.
But I mean, for you, you have this crazy thing, don't you? Where if you give it to someone and it's cold and they take it out of your shop, it's zero rated. But if they eat it in your shop and it's cold, it's standard rated, 20%. Yeah. And if it's something that's like a hot sausage roll and they take it away, then it's standard rated because you've heated it up.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. We just had
complicated.
It's a laugh.
That's why they always say, eat in or take away.
Yeah.
That's right.
I've always wondered why they say that.
Yeah.
Does it matter?
No, it's the VAT.
And so they have to make a little note of it every time.
Well, either they need something
roll out,
like Paul was saying, you know, some sort of software which will help them to identify these, or they can somehow, I mean, I've done with clients, I've said, right, well, let's record what everyone buys for, you know, 2-3 days, and then we can work out what percentage gets taken away. So, I mean, it's not science, but it works, you know.
But, it, you know, for a small business, it can it can have a significant impact when you suddenly realise that you're losing 20% of what you thought you were earning and you're not earning it anymore, you know, if people buy it in the wrong way.
Yes,
I have to ask you, see, because I lost track of where this argument got to, but for many years there was a running argument about Jaffa cakes.
Jaffa cakes.
Yeah. whether Jaffa cakes were biscuits or cakes, because one is VAT-able and one isn't.
So, yeah, I mean, this is the number of times we talk about this in the office still.
Really?
So, yes, Jaffa cakes, are they a cake? Zero rated. Yeah. Are they a biscuit that's covered in chocolate? Standard rated, 20% VAT. And is it McVitie's that make them?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Who sits they and makes up all these ridiculous rules?
Oh, well, there's some very clever or very deluded people in government.
A bit of both, really, isn't it?
So yeah. McVitie's make Jaffa cakes.
Yeah. McVitie's make Jaffa cakes, and they went to the tribunal and they tried to persuade the tribunal that it was a cake, and they made a huge Jaffa cake just for the tribunal to see. And they were talking about things like, well, you know, cakes go hard when they go old, when they go stale. Biscuits go soft, so what does the Jaffa cake do? And so on. Anyway, the tribunal finally decided that it was a cake and therefore zero rated. But there have been a string of these cases. Just recently we had, you know, those massive marshmallows that you can put on your barbecue. So they were held to be zero rated, even though they're confectionery, which is, you know, should be standard rated.
Right.
And just recently again, another biscuit, I don't know if it was McVitie's, I don't know if you've seen them, they come in packets, probably, I don't know, 20 or so, and they've got like chocolate in this pastry cup, and then they've got like a pastry top.
And the
question was, are they covered in chocolate? And the tribunal said, yes, they are, even though there was pastry on the top, but you could see the chocolate through it. Honestly, this is what I spend my life doing. You can feel sorry for me.
Are there any incentives now for electric cars or hybrids or all that malarkey that we're all being told to get?
To buy, yeah, no, not on VAT, no. Obviously, if you plug it in at home, then you'll get the 5% on electricity that you get because it's your home.
Okay.
But in terms of buying the car, no, it's still VAT-able at 20%. Mm. There should be more, shouldn't there, to encourage people to buy
electric cars. I want to come back to these stories about cakes and biscuits and stuff
you like that.
Well, no, it's not so much liking it.
He likes cakes and biscuits.
But no. But the thing is, and I have a degree of sympathy here with HMRC. No, I don't. That's ridiculous. Of course I don't. No, the fact is, our tax code runs to 12,000 pages or something now, in general. It's one of the biggest tax codes in the world. Hong Kong's is two pages, I think, or something stupid. When you start to get really arcane stuff, like, has it got chocolate on it or not, you start to ask yourself, what is the point of this exactly? Yeah.
Apart from time wasting.
Yeah, no, but why exactly are you differentiating between these things? Why? I don't understand why a cake is zero rated and why a biscuit isn't.
Well, it goes back to they were trying to ensure that the sort of food that we have to buy to live is zero rated, so you don't pay VAT on milk, on meat, on vegetables, on fruit,
bread,
and so on.
Yeah.
But then you've got all these things that are like, you know, halfway sort of, are they treats
dishwasher
or
tablets?
Not? Yeah, they're VAT-able. But I mean, they're not essential to eat, though.
Yeah, no, she eats them. She's got a dirty mouth. Yeah.
I always thought, you know, I always found VAT on children's shoes annoying because my kids have big, large feet. Sorry if you're listening, but they're all tall.
Yes.
And then, you know, you get to a certain, I think it was it five or? That you suddenly have
suddenly
to
become VAT-able.
Yeah, and yet they were still at school.
Yeah,
and you know how much, you know, trainers used to kill me buying their trainers.
I know. I mean, it makes a massive difference, doesn't it? But that was the original idea of the VAT law, to focus on giving zero rating to things that are necessities in life.
Yeah.
But I think life's moved on, hasn't it? So that now we have, you know, a million types of biscuits and cakes that we never had in the 70s.
Yeah. We have cookies now.
From America.
One of the problems, it strikes me, not just with VAT, not just with the tax code, but almost every rule that Parliament kind of puts in place now, is they don't go back to ground zero. I'm a big fan of zero-based budgeting.
Right.
Yeah. When I had a proper job before I worked for myself, and I was responsible for some pretty large, I worked in banking, in technology, and I had some pretty large budgets. And every year my bosses would come to me and they go, shave 20% off your budget. I go, well, what do you not want me to do? And they go, no, we want you to do everything. Just shave 20% of it.
Yeah.
I go, why can't we go back to a zero budget? Why don't we start from scratch? Why do you have to give me what I had last year and then I have to save 20% of it? Well, I'll go back and work out what you want me to do and how much that's going to cost, a zero-based budget. And I think we ought to have zero-based laws as well, you know, because you're quite right, Sue. In the 1970s, when VAT was introduced to replace purchase tax in the UK, we lived in a very different world to the one we live in now. Mm. They try to fix things by adding a new law.
That's yeah, right. That's
rather true. Than taking one away. Yeah.
Starting again. That
doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Let's start again and rethink this. No, they try to fill, which is why you end up with so many loopholes.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know if you've come across it. There's a chap called Dan Nidale. Mm-hmm. Have you come across Dan?
Yes.
He's a tax lawyer. And he's obviously made his money being a tax lawyer. And he's now started a thing called Tax Associates where he just talks about tax. And it's fascinating looking at some of the things that he talks about with these things, about how arcane they are and how they've got completely out of control. But more than that, he investigates loopholes, and there's a mob that were trying to sell a tax avoidance scheme, yeah, which Dan claims is an illegal tax avoidance scheme, yeah, and they're all arguing about it. But our laws are just so arcane that even 10 lawyers, HMRC, and a bunch of other specialists, and a couple of King's Councils all disagreed on what the issues are.
It is like that now. Yeah. I think it's because it's grown and it's grown and it's grown, and nobody wants to be the one that says, look, let's just start again.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The EU did actually tell us what we could or couldn't VAT on.
Mm.
But we're not in the EU anymore, so actually we can now cut it all and start again.
Yeah.
It would be a massive, massive thing to do, though, and I think anyone who's brave enough to do that.
And you're absolutely right, but that's the problem, isn't it? Is that, you know, we kick it into the long grass. You go, you know, I'm not going to be the government for much longer, so I'm not going to bother to do it. The next lot can suffer that. And they don't do it either. And then we end up where we are with 12,000 pages, massive loopholes in things.
Yes.
And then...
so many cases every year.
Yeah.
And trying to keep up with it all is very tricky.
Which is fantastic for you.
Which is good news for me because it keeps me in a job, yes.
Absolutely.
And my team of people, because there's 8 of us now in Kent, so we are kept busy.
It's what you do is incredibly important for us as small businesses. You know,
yes.
We can't possibly get on top of all of this. We just can't. Even if we wanted to, we couldn't. So we do need expertise, and we do need your expertise, and we're incredibly grateful for it. I just want to ask you, this is a bit of a stupid question, because there's two completely different ways you could answer this, both of which would be correct. Yeah. What do you think of VAT? It's what's known as an input tax. Yeah. What do you think of it as a way of taxing things?
Personally, I think it's a good tax because you can, it's not like income tax where, you know, everybody pays tax on their income. But with VAT, you can pull out things that everybody needs to buy and therefore and make them cheaper by saying, right, we're going to apply zero rating to whatever it is, a new home or to food, like we were saying. So I think it has an important role to play.
Mm.
I think it's just got bigger than its boots, really. I think it's just, it's all got so huge.
It's funny, I'm not, you're going to be shocked by this, I'm not a massive fan of tax.
I don't think any of us are, are we, at the end of the day?
Really.
But we know that it's a necessity because that's how the country funds everything.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. Again, I was arguing with someone about, I can't remember what they wanted to do something or other, a sales tax or something. And I suddenly thought to myself, but you know what? The mechanics of VAT isn't that bad. Yeah. At least it's understandable. you know, that you're adding 20% to the things that need 20% added to them, and then you can claim back what you spent to do that. It's an input tax, and it works, yeah? The end user pays the tax, basically.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And I thought, on the whole, that's not a bad tax, actually. It kind of works better, because in the old days of the purchase tax, everybody paid the tax all the way through the chain.
Yes.
Yeah. So it is interesting that it is a kind of fairer tax, if you like.
I think it is a fairer tax. I think, although, I mean, we say that it's a fairer tax because you control what's zero rated, but if you actually look at who bears the burden of the tax, in, as you said, the final customer, all of us sitting around the table here, we're the ones who pay it.
Yeah.
Actually, poorer people suffer more of the burden of tax than richer people.
That's
so
true.
It's not working, basically.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and they did try to fix that up front, as you said, by zero rating things that are essentials.
Yes.
It's just that, you know, what's an essential
what's
now
essential
wasn't, wasn't essential
is,
then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And things like cars and so on. I mean, everybody has a car now. You know, how do you deal with that?
Yeah.
Well, it is essential if you live in an area without any public transport.
Exactly, yeah. If you've
which
got
is
no
basically
buses.
Anywhere outside London.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely, you're right.
Yeah.
We've just seen, haven't we, all these cuts. There were cuts to close to where I live in Lyme, which they've turned around actually and said, no, we will provide buses, thank goodness.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, at the end of the day, it's always the people who need it, who don't have access to a car, that are going to suffer.
Mm. Absolutely. Oh, I had a massive row with Kent County Council over this when we were based on Romney Marsh. It was driving me potty how many unemployed people there were on the marsh, where Ashford, which is 12 miles away, couldn't find enough staff, and there's no public transport between the two places.
Oh,
I go to KCC, can't you run some buses? Nah. Why? Well, we don't run the buses, independent company do, and they can't make money out of it. Well, can't you subsidise them? Oh, no, we haven't got any money. But hold on, you're paying people to be unemployed when 12 miles away there's hundreds of jobs that they can't get to. Even if you bought them all a blooming moped, it'll be cheaper.
And it's still like that.
And it's still like that.
It hasn't changed.
No,
it hasn't.
It's crazy.
Better.
Yeah.
It is. We live in a weird world.
Yeah, we certainly do.
Any incentives for solar? On offices?
There are 5% rate applicable to, like, the installation of solar panels and so on. So there are some incentives on that, yes.
Cool.
Yes.
So it's been a pleasure talking to you. It's not often I say that about tax conversations.
And I'm going to see you at the Kent Business Awards as well, because we are a sponsor of those.
You are indeed, yes. And we ought to very briefly, we're coming up to joining the newsroom, but yes, we ought to talk about that. MHA are sponsoring the Kent Business Awards this year. You're the platinum sponsor, I do believe.
We are platinum sponsor because we're 10 years in Kent this year, so we're doing something really special there.
Okay.
We'll be there. And we're really pleased as well that agriculture is part of all the business sectors, which it hasn't been in the past.
It hasn't. It's a new category, which just means I'm going to be working for longer as the compare. And
it
goes on a long time already.
Yeah, I used to panic, you know, about the dinner, whether we were going to get the dinner.
She'd sit in the audience. She'd go, come on, hurry up.
Speed
I'm hungry.
Up. Yeah.
I want my dinner.
Yeah, you're overrunning.
No, you're absolutely right. There's a new category this year, which is agriculture, which is long overdue, especially for a county like Kent.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
the Garden of England.
Yeah. Agriculture, food and viniculture these days are a huge part of
selling apples from New Zealand.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Really upset me.
Yeah.
I tweeted about it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So we're in November at the Kent Events Centre, aren't we?
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's 29th of November.
It is indeed. Yeah. It's
looking
in my diary and everything. I need to try my dinner suit on again after last year. Yeah.
VAT on dinner suits?
Standard rate of 20%.
Yeah.
That's a luxury.
Yeah.
Go in your pyjamas, Paul.
I'll quickly tell you a story. For some reason, I compare a lot of award ceremonies. And for many years, in fact, all 10 of the years it's been going, I've compared the Seven Oaks Business Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last year was the first year after the lockdown, so it hadn't happened for 2 years. And I'd known well in advance I was doing it. It was on a Friday evening. On a Thursday, I thought, I better just check that there's no dribble down my dinner suit because I haven't worn it for a while. So I got my dinner suit out and I put it on and I couldn't do it up. And I thought, oh my God, it doesn't fit. How did that happen? So, bearing in mind, I'm the day before. Yeah.
So I
drove around as many shops, as many branches of Moss Bros as I could think of. And of course, no one had giant size 4XL dinner suits for sale in September. Yeah. So what am I going to do? This is ridiculous. I went onto the Marks and Spencer's online website and blow me, they had one dinner suit in my size in a sale for
Fantastic.
Sale. The whole thing was £50. Yeah, for this dinner suit. And I thought, well, I'll buy it anyway. You know, it's not going to be in time for tomorrow, but I'll buy it. On the automated checkout, it says, for an extra £5, you can nominate your delivery date, because it was a 2-week delivery. So I thought, here we go. So I put the next day, and it accepted it.
Really?
And they blooming well delivered it the next morning. So
Good
I
old,
actually
Evanus.
Wore it. So I actually wore it last year to the Seven Oaks Business Awards. This year, I went to put it on. It's too big.
Oh,
hey!
But we have tailors in Kent. You can get it nipped in.
No, well, I've still had the one from the year before.
So you've got a choice.
I was back to that one. Yeah.
A choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I just tried on a pair of my size 16 relaxed, and they were like jodhpurs. They were huge because I've lost.
She's
boasting
now.
Huge
isn't she?
They were.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, lucky you.
They're going to the charity shop.
Yeah.
Well
cool.
done.
Somebody will like them.
So it's a real pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Do stay with us for the rest of the show and do join in. But for the moment, Sue Rathmel of MHA Accountants, VAT specialist, especially in travel and...
Charities.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Fantastic.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you so much. We're going to join the newsroom shortly. We've got a couple of minutes before we do that. Do you want to read something, George?
Yeah, we've had some tweets in from Wayne Cunnington. He says, good afternoon, using the BBunker hashtag. A lovely wet day here. Hopefully a sunnier disposition on the show today. I'm listening, he says. And you can follow Wayne at Wayne. And then ETLC, so Wayne TLC. I've got it right. I always call him Wayne Etic, which annoys him. So Wayne TLC. And then also Sarah Marsh Collins is zooming up somewhere or other for a meeting, for an event. She says, me and Jessica Gabb of this show, she's been on the show.
Jessica has,
yeah. We're driving up to NEC for Lab Innovations Expo for IS_instruments. That's a Twitter handle.
Well, Jess is a nuclear scientist.
Yes.
And Sarah runs Babel Monkey, marketing company.
And they're zooming up together. We're up for an award at tomorrow night's gala dinner. Wish us luck.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah,
good luck, girls.
And they're going to send us a picture of them in posh frocks.
Yeah, yeah. Pictures of the event when you get there. Pictures of the award when you get it, because you will. I know you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're thinking of you and wishing you success.
Yeah.
I was going to say something about that, and I can't think. Oh, I know. You're talking about Wayne. I ought to let everyone know that there is a problem with the Listen Agains on the website.
Oh, yeah, he struggled, didn't he?
And Wayne brought it to my attention. In fact, Sarah Marsh Collins kind of tangentially mentioned it the week before, and I kind of ignored her, which was really rude of me.
Very rude.
Yeah, not like me at all. I normally really go for a big ignore.
Normally you're a pussycat.
Yeah. But I couldn't be bothered to look at it, and then Wayne moaned about it, so I looked at it, and both of them were absolutely right. There's a problem with the Listen Again if you happen to use an Apple product.
Which most of us do.
Yeah, no, hold on, let me talk you through it. If you use Safari as a browser, the Listen Again doesn't work anymore. Because Apple have changed some of their settings, and it now thinks it's a live broadcast rather than a recording. And then after a couple of minutes of listening to the recording, it goes, that's not live, and it starts again.
Yeah,
it's
so Wayne
really
said
annoying.
He heard us again and
yeah,
again.
Yeah, it just goes round in a loop. So I spent an afternoon looking at why that was, and I found out that it's Safari has got its knickers in a twist. If you use an Apple Mac or laptop or whatever, and you use Firefox or any Mozilla or Chrome, it works fine. The big problem is if you use an iPhone or a tablet, iPad.
Which so many do.
It doesn't work. So somebody said to me, but I've loaded Firefox on my phone. But you haven't. You just think you have. Because Apple, being Apple, what they insist on, what you download as Firefox to a phone is actually Safari with an Apple, with a Firefox badge on it.
Really?
Yeah.
What a sneak.
Yeah. Yeah. They won't let you use anything else. So when you've got Firefox or Chrome loaded on your phone, it's actually still Safari. And Safari is the problem. Now, I have my team of genius experts, Tony and the team, working on a fix at the moment. We are trying to fix it, but there is a possibility that if you've got an iPhone, it will be a bit difficult to listen to the listen again.
So, have we contacted Apple?
Oh, yeah. We put a support
ticket. Do we get anything back?
No, they went tough.
Yeah. That's shocking about downloading Firefox, thinking you've got Firefox, and then you're actually just Safari still.
It's in a wrapper, is what they've done. They've put it in a wrapper.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, we're going to join the newsroom. When we come back, we've got another guest to talk to, the wonderful Maria Wilson. I'm sure we'll talk some more to Sue as well. So let's join the newsroom, and then we'll talk to you in a bit. Ooh, where's my thing?
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.